Welcome to the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard. Thank you for listening online. Be sure to check out our website weekly as we bring Sacramento and the world to you. The 503 Report at www.503report.com, where America's voice is heard.
Things were pretty simple as kids. Growing up, it was pretty clear-cut, black and white, night and day. Things were pretty simple. But as we grow older, we find out things are a little bit different than that. The heart of liberal California, Silicon Valley, is proposing a ballot measure to abolish the death penalty. Now, that seems like we have that all the time. Former MASH TV star Mike Farrell, along with Netflix CEO Reed Hastings and Stanford professor Nicholas McEwen, filed the Justice That Works Act last month. Hastings and McEwen donated over $700,000 between them in 2012 in the failed Prop 34 ballot measure to eliminate the death penalty. Supporters are awaiting clearance from the Attorney General's office to begin collecting the over 360,000 signatures needed to qualify that for the November 2016 ballot. Last week, death penalty supporters filed the Death Penalty Reform and Savings Act of 2016. Among the proposed changes, California Supreme Court would be in charge of overseeing an expedited death penalty appeal process. In the 40-plus years since its reinstatement, the death penalty has been attacked by the left, but voted by the people to be the ultimate sentence of heinous crimes committed against its people. It seems every election cycle, a proposed ballot measure to end the death penalty is introduced and rejected by a popular vote of the people. In a court of law, you can't be tried for the same case twice, double jeopardy. Wouldn't it be nice if those rules applied to the ballot measures continually rejected by the people? Just imagine how far $700,000 would go in the continued efforts to rehabilitate inmates that are not on death row. Well, after a little bit of an absence, a couple of weeks, we are back to our favorite day of the week. It is Friday, back from Jamaica, Mon. Had a great time there. With me, as always, joining me, my good friend, although a little dirty today, you can't see him, Andrew Welborn. Bunny, let me shake your hand. It's good to be back in the studio with you, pal.
Well, I have to tell you, after 2 weeks, I feel like I'm a fish out of water in this studio trying to get set up. I got to tell you, it was rough last couple weeks not being on the air, but obviously you were out there having fun, and, I just don't like to do the show without you, my friend.
I feel the same way, pal.
Sometimes this happens, folks, and maybe what we should do is start letting people know whenever we are not going to be on the air. Like next week's going to be a little bit different, but start to tell the folks because, man, the reaction was huge, and I appreciate the reaction to everybody wondering where we were over the last 2 weeks. And so for all our listeners out there, thank you for noticing that we weren't on the air for the last 2 weeks. Hello, folks. Andrew Welborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voice is heard on iTunes.
Absolutely, Andrew. We had a great time down there in Jamaica while we were away. I was able to keep abreast a little bit of what was going on here in the United States. I was out of country. Not that I really paid particular attention to it. We don't get away very often. You know, we like to do our show, like you said. But I hadn't been away all year, and the family thing, we had to do something like that. So it was nice. We will inform the listeners. But as you said, next week's going to be a pretty good show, too.
You know, you couldn't have picked a better or a worse 2 weeks to take off. I mean, so much was happening over the last 2 weeks. And I have to tell you, man, I was chomping at the bit. I was texting people. I guess that was my version of Twitter because I don't tweet yet.
I don't either.
I'm trying to hold off on that. And John Schuffer just pressuring me every day. I need to start doing that. But look, lots happened over the last 2 weeks. And we'll get into that a little bit on the bottom part of the show. But let's talk about this death penalty thing. I mean, without a doubt, you know, I'm going to start off with, look, you know, the death penalty has been under attack out here in California, as you mentioned, constantly. And for decades, the people of California are showing their more conservative viewpoint by always supporting the death penalty out here in California. But as a result of the education system in California, I mean, you not just the death penalty, but you see what Governor Jerry Brown's been doing over the last couple of weeks. And you know, he's reaching real big, reaching out to that environmental group about the global warming. You know, we've got a millennial generation now that's starting to, you know, they're becoming voters, I guess is the best way of putting it. And so for decades, you know, this messaging from the left has been imprinted on the minds of our youth out here in California in particular. And so some of these initiatives, from the marijuana to this global warming stuff, all the way to now the death penalty, is starting to take root. In other words, I believe that the leftist agenda right now, they're looking at this as our opportunity. And I'll relate it a little bit more on the bottom part of the show as far as what I'm doing and thinking on the national level. But this effort right now with the California death penalty, look, folks, there's a reason why a convicted murderer spends decades on death row. And the problem is that the Supreme Court of the state of California gets to pick and choose what cases it hears. And so when you've got an appellant who is a condemned individual on death row at San Quentin State Prison in the Bay Area of California, when that appeal, well, guess what? It gets lost in the court system of the Supreme Court out here in California. The only way we're going to be able to expedite this stuff is as people, how about this for an initiative? How about we put an initiative out there mandating that the Supreme Court of California immediately, within a time frame, prioritize these death row cases over any other stupid case, some of the things that they're picking up in California. That way we can expedite this process and we either carry out the death sentence on these individuals or you let them free or you overturn the death, whatever the case is. But until we expedite this and mandate that the California Supreme Court out here picks up these cases very quickly, then we're going to see the prolonged numbers of individuals, the amount of time, and the cost of it continue to rise out in California as a result of the Supreme Court of California just not picking up those cases to hear.
Not making light of the situation and what happens. And those, you know, those are convicted felons, and they are on death row for a reason. But maybe the right is learning a little bit from the left, Andrew. The Death Penalty Reform and Savings Act, you know, it's not something for schools, but it's a savings act. Maybe that is a key word in this, because 20 plus years at the maximum security and the amount of money spent, maybe the folks need to really know how much they could save. And you are right. The Supreme Court, maybe make it 5 years. You expedite, you use all your trials, and you go there and you have a couple different hearings and okay, nope, sorry, you're done. You have to be put to death. That's it. Not 20, 25, 30. Making those families wait of the victims, Andrew, is probably the worst part.
Well, you hear the case, and you know, you make the decision, and then at that point in time, an execution's date is set, and then the appellant can appeal to the United States Supreme Court, and at that point in time, it's up to the higher courts to give a stay at that point in time. But meantime, go forward with the process. I mean, more and more counties now are not seeking death penalty. I mean, what do you think? When you give a guy 80 years to life plus 300 years plus another 50 years, please, what are you doing? You're sentencing him to die inside an institution. at a cost. I mean, that is really what the problem is going to be. Now, look, here's a little conspiracy behind this. I mean, look, we all know that the penal code, okay, everybody that is condemned, they go to San Quentin, and everything in the penal code and in sentencing structure sentences the individual to San Quentin State Prison. And so in order for them to, you know, move San Quentin State Prison, I mean, look, let's face it. Look at the property that that prison is on. Look at the value that that property has to any future developments. And so, you know, the movement to abolish the death penalty would actually, it would no longer justify the need for San Quentin State Prison right there at Point San Quentin, just across from Tiburon.
Absolutely. What do you got for it, my friend?
All right, folks, time for something that you should know. Maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't care to know. But, man, you're going to know here today on October 30th. The year is 1270. Ready? The Seventh Crusade ends by the Treaty of Barbary. And, of course, we always remember the story that Carol Bowers always talks about, the Barbary Pirates. Great story. Okay, 1905. The Tsar of Russia, ready? He issues the October Manifesto. And what that did, folks, it granted civil liberties and elections. He was trying to end support, should we say, for a revolution. And of course, 1922, Mussolini, he sends his black shirts into Rome. The fascist takeover is almost without bloodshed, and the next day, he made himself prime minister.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you, heard every Friday right after the news here on 1240 KSUE.
And now, it's live from the high desert in the Sierra Nevada mountains. It's the 503 Report, Northeastern California's original political talk show, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. And here's your host, Tim Reinertsen.
Thank you, Stan. Welcome back, everybody. A couple of weeks off, and we are back on our favorite day of the week. It is Friday, almost All Hallows Eve. Tomorrow night, the kids, ghosts, goblins, and candy. With me, as always, my good friend to my right, Andrew Wilburn. How you doing, pal?
Doing great. Wearing a little Texas orange in celebration, not just for Halloween, but, of course, you know, always pulling for my Texas Longhorns. I love the program. Lovely what their coach is doing. And you know what? Yes, we are back, and it feels like forever since I've been on the air. And it might sound like I'm stumbling all over the place because, quite frankly, I am. So hopefully I can get this together and get through this show. Hello, folks. Andrew Wilburn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's Voice is heard on iTunes.
Absolutely. We can't thank them enough for allowing us to go on there. Folks, you need to go there and you can download our show. It's real easy. It doesn't cost anything, and you can catch up on all the past shows. And boy, the time of the year, what things are happening out there, Andrew, in the political field, everything. But I wanted to talk a little bit more, I guess, about our opening segment there,
Pat. You know, real quick, learn your rights, folks, with Liberty's ladies, Chris Ann Hall, a constitutional attorney and historian who is going to speak on the roots of liberty. And she wants to teach you how to reclaim our nation, and we must reclaim our history. She's coming to Susanville Tuesday, November 10th from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Veterans Hall on Main Street. So once again, that's this Tuesday coming up, November 10th. And if you don't have anything else to do, you know what, get out there, folks. Maybe go and learn something. And, you know, you can never, ever, ever, you can never go too far as learning your rights, understanding your history. We talk about it all the time. And, you know, Tim, we were talking about the death penalty on the first part of the show. And I got to tell you, I've got some strong opinions about it. And, you know, when you talk about initiatives, I want to reiterate the statement that I made on the first segment. Look, it's time maybe to put an initiative together to mandate that the California Supreme Court actually hears and expedites the appeals for the condemned on death row at San Quentin State Prison.
And I think that's what they are trying to do, the Savings Act of 2016 to expedite that. Haven't seen the wordage or the verbiage on that, but Andrew, shouldn't that have already been in play, don't you think, because of the seriousness of the crime and the penalty that has to be carried out, the death penalty, the ultimate penalty that we give to somebody else?
Well, and the cost that we have, you know, the taxpayers, you know, pay for the cost of the defense for the condemned. And then we all know about the organization that, you know, basically makes a fortune every year defending these individuals. And really, folks, when you look at these cases, it's not really a case of guilt versus innocence. It's a technical application of law or incorrect jury statement or incorrect instruction. Some of these technical things that are holding these appeals up. And of course, the conspiracy out here is the California Supreme Court. The California Supreme Court just chooses not to hear these cases. And so, you know, when you've got these leftist anti-perhaps Supreme Court of California appointees who are sitting on the court. You know, look, this is just how they nonchalantly just discard the will of the people by not hearing these cases. So maybe as the people out here on the West Coast in California, maybe we should take a look at an initiative to mandate that the Supreme Court hears these cases rather quickly. And then, of course, the appeal process goes to the district courts, then it goes to the Supreme Court. But meantime, set in motion an execution date so that the process can be followed.
Andrew, what would have to happen also on top of that, and you've talked about it in the past, maybe making the judges that are appointed to those be elected instead of appointed and being there for life. Would that help, do you think, or hinder in this process?
Well, we've got that means, folks, right out here in California. I mean,
by the governorship?
Once the appointment is made, every so many years, and I'm not sure exactly how many years it is, the Supreme Court member of California comes before you as a voter. And the vote is whether or not they deserve a second term. Right. And overwhelmingly, everybody votes yes for some reason. Even up here in Northeastern California, when I look at the returns,
You're kind of shocked.
I'm like, wow. I mean, you know, the returns are very positive for the Supreme Court appointments and these guys who serve on that court. So without a doubt, look, if we want to solve this problem when it comes to the cost of the condemned out here in California, expedite it. And then guess what? You know, the organization that we all know, who this prison law organization is, you know, down there in San Quentin, these guys are just fleecing the taxpayers and just making a fortune and making things rather difficult for individuals within, say, like the correctional profession on behalf of these individuals.
Well, and one of the Savings Reform Act, one of the things that they want to do, they're trying to go out there, is they want restitution to be paid to the family members. And that's going to be a little bit difficult. So they want to allow those individuals, the 700 or so, to go to work. And we all know that they really can't mingle with general population and they have to be by themselves. So their work would be very minimal, if anything. So really no money is going to be paid into restitution, so they need to kind of maybe get rid of that one and try something else.
Well, look, we all know, most people within the profession, they know that the only reason that San Quentin State Prison is still in existence today is because it houses the condemned. And the penal codes specifically cite San Quentin. Every individual that is sentenced to death is sentenced to San Quentin State Prison for the purpose of an execution to receive that death penalty. And so, you know, if you abolish that death penalty and you put these individuals back out in the general population, then guess what? The movement to eliminate the prison, because it's, you know, across the bay, man, it's just in Tiburon, and it is an eyesore for the individuals who've got those million-dollar homes. And then, of course, the development opportunity on that property is just limitless as far as how much money can actually be generated by developing that property where that prison sits.
Do you think that would happen, Andrew, pretty much right away if this were to pass, let's say in 2016, this initiative would pass and they would abolish that? Would we see a movement for that pretty quickly?
Rather quickly. In fact, if you take a look at some of the financing probably behind this, it's probably going to be, you know, it's going to be directly related to some developers and some individuals who are just dreaming for the opportunity to develop that prison and make a fortune, get rid of it out of the Bay Area. And that's really what the mission is. But once again, you know, we just need to start mandating that our court system do what it's supposed to do, which is carry out the will of a court, you know, the will of the people, you know. Somebody who was an individual that was condemned to die, guess what? A jury of his peers, the people, said, you are going to die for this heinous crime because you are a nasty person. You do not deserve to exist within society. The political correctness has got to go on this.
Look,
rabid dogs have got to be put down. We know that, whether it be individuals within our criminal system across this nation or dealing with ISIS or some of these radical terrorist groups across this globe. So reality is reality. Look, the education system, look, you know, good Lord. I mean, you've got this movement right now in California. It's like this desperation. It's like, this is the time to do it. We've got this millennial generation who came through the California high school systems. And
they're ripe for this.
You know, we've imprinted on their mind all the way from the marijuana now to the global warming and now to abolish the death penalty to gay marriage. All these agendas.
Lining right up.
Just lining right up. And, you know, I'm just not sure if today's generation is really paying attention. Or I don't like to think think that I am out of touch, Tim.
No,
with this
we wouldn't like to think that.
I would not like to at all. But, I mean, some of the things I do understand. I mean, I understand the importance of an individual to be married. I understand that when it comes to the gay marriage, as long as the church is protected. I mean,
sure.
You know, we want to separate, you know, church and state. We got to make sure the state stays out of the business of the church. So we've got to solve that problem when it comes to the church's ability to not perform a same-sex marriage. But as far as an individual liberty, guess what, man? We're all about an individual liberty when it comes to that type of issue. Now, smoking pot, I don't know if that's an individual, you know, liberty, you know, as far as we the people deciding against or for that. But California, you know, look, it's just going to be interesting to watch Californians develop the voting trend. This is going to be an interesting election cycle next year because it's going to tell us a lot about what we think or think we know about California.
Well, a lot of players are lining up for 2016 at the state level. Of course, we know what's going on nationally. We get into that on the next segment. But statewide, you know, Gavin Newsom throwing his hat in. Kamala Harris for the Senate as well. People are throwing their hats in. Marijuana issues, there's like 15, 16 of them. How many are going to make the cut on some of these initiatives, and how full is that going to be next year? That's going to be a huge ballot initiative, I think, along with the general election.
Well, I think it could hurt some of them in California. Look, I mean, I'm just not convinced that most Californians are for this marijuana thing. We're going to see, you know, as the polling goes. I understand how the polling works, but, you know, at this point in time, we've rejected it so many times. And then, you know, when you look at the state of Colorado only receiving $150 million in revenue, and not $1 billion.
No,
$150 million, which was revealed on the Republican debate just a couple of nights ago. $150 million in tax revenue. Is that really worth the cost that the state of Colorado is going through at this point, as far as legalizing that product?
And do you think that Californians are probably, you know, the coalition who are for that are probably really looking at the going, well, those numbers probably aren't really all that great. So how are we going to spin this in our favor for next June and November?
I can't even imagine the cost for the employment with the bureaucracy that's going to be created, the agency is going to enforce. And then, of course, with that comes, you know, just a benefit package, to cost to the taxpayers, and then, of course, the pension plan, cost to the taxpayers. And so, you know, really, California, these issues are something that's obviously going to come up, and we say it all the time on the show. But, you know, the cost. Is the cost for marijuana going to be able to pay for itself? Is the profit, the tax dollar, going to be enough to sustain the cost of the bureaucracy that's going to be created by the legalization of marijuana?
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you. 257 Talk and 1-866-882-1277. The views and opinions expressed on the 503 Report do not necessarily represent those of staff or management of KSUE or Sierra Broadcasting Company, and are brought to you solely by Andrew Wellborn and the 503 Network.
All right, California, rest of the nation. Here's some more of that stuff you should know if you don't know. Today's day is October 30th. The year is 1938. H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds. Broadcasted over the radio by Orson Welles' Mercury Theater. And many believe in, you know, they panicked.
They
that
sure
was,
did.
It's actually
they thought it was real.
Well, you know, we're laughing now, but that must have been
80 years ago. That was something.
1941, the U.S. destroyer Reuben James on convoy duty off Iceland is sunk by a German U-boat and loss of 96 Americans. Of course, 1953, U.S. President Dwight D. Eisenhower formally approves a top-secret document to maintain and expand the country's nuclear arsenal, And then, of course, 1985, the Space Shuttle Challenger lifts off for its final successful mission. Hello, folks. Andrew Wellborn here on the 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you on our podcast, where America's voice is heard on iTunes.
Absolutely, Andrew. It is good to be back. It's good to see you over there. It's good to see that and feel the passion that we have here in the studio again. We've been talking a lot about what's going on in California. If you wanted to maybe switch a little bit to national, rather big news, and I was able to follow this, Andrew, is the Speaker of the House. We had Paul Ryan was elected to that. We had talked in the past about people running for the presidency of the United States who had failed before. Paul Ryan, of course, was on the GOP ticket, you know, a couple of years ago and had failed. But now he's elevated to just a couple of heartbeats away from the presidency.
Horrible selection, Republicans. I'm sorry. Yeah, you know what? I know I just said what I said. Horrible. You know, he is among the American rejects that we talk about. It's not just the Democrats that are putting American rejects into their office. Paul Ryan has been rejected by the American people. I mean, good Lord, what are we thinking? Are we just trying to give this election to Hillary Clinton at this point with some of these selections, some of these decisions? If I was advising the Democrats, that would be easy, man. I mean, look, there are so many vulnerable seats. I would not be surprised this time next year. I would not be surprised at all if all of a sudden you see an increase in members within the House of Representatives for the Democrats, because this is the great, great campaign opportunity. This is the trophy. You know, not only do the Republicans just want to take everything away from you and all this other stuff that we want to give you as Democrats, but now you got the guy who wants to throw grandma off the cliff, throw mama from the train. I mean, just a horrible selection. I don't know what, but, you know, as a result of these libertarians called the Freedom Caucusers that are just causing this havoc. So, you know what? Look, hey, as far as I'm concerned, let it ride. Let's see what happens, and maybe we can learn a lesson. Maybe American people will look at these guys, these 40 members called the Freedom Caucus, and start getting those guys out of the way as far as obstruction things.
It seems like we've already had significant progress made, Andrew. I believe they had a two-year budget deal arranged, you know, approved by the House, so something the government won't be shut down with, you know, with a key issue a couple of years ago. So, you know, he went to, you heard things about what he wanted. He says, I want everybody to be on board with me. I am still going to do this. I'm still going to be a family man. I am not going to be a slave to this job. Is it the Tea Party, like you said, the Freedom Caucus's greatest accomplishment so far in this era for them, Andrew, with him being ascended? Or is it?
That's got to probably be the most original question, I think, asked on broadcast right there. You know, that's a great question. And you know what? If this is their greatest accomplishment, then you know what? They're in for a long, long, long.
That's not the answer they wanted to hear, Andrew.
That is not the answer that they're going to want to hear. You know, well, I'm not really sure how long Paul Ryan is going to sit in the seat. I don't know if the deal was made, you know, for him just to sit there temporarily to kind of ease, you know, through this turmoil, you know, as a result of him wanting to spend his time where he's going to spend his time with his family and on his committees and things like that. But, you know, like I said, it's a horrible selection, you know, to present to the American people now that the leader of the United States Congress, the House of Representatives of the Congress, should we say, is somebody that the American people have already overwhelmingly rejected for the second highest seat in the land. So once again, Republicans, we're not learning the same message that, you know, or should we say the same lessons from President Barack Obama's choices of Hillary Clinton and, of course, of John Kerry. I mean, the Iranians are laughing at John Kerry, knowing that, you know, look, man, American people dying even behind you, so we don't care. Yeah. There's no force here, and it's evident with the foreign policy positions that the administration's taken. You know, he doesn't have the right individuals. The 60s generational experiment needs to end quickly, but unfortunately, they've got, 15, 14 months left. There's a lot of damage that they can still do, and we all know that the Democrats, look, they don't like to settle into, you know, lame duck status. They like to get out there and create as much havoc as they can to get their agenda through, you know, obviously with executive orders, and create the problems for future, maybe possibly Republican administrations.
Okay, has the Republican Party right now, using a football vernacular, have they fumbled the ball and it's still loose on the ground and they're hoping to recover it and not give it and turning it over to the left? Is that what's kind of happening right now? I mean, because the ball is clearly in the Republicans' side right now for the presidential election and everything. And have we had a misstep right now, Andrew?
Huge missteps. Now, let's go back, okay? Look, we could line it up. We can air show after show after show, even with callers calling in and disputing me over this Benghazi thing.
Yes.
We've said darn near since the day after it happened that this Benghazi is nothing. It's an unfortunate situation for the United States. It's unfortunate that four Americans, you know, lost their lives. But to try to blame it on the Secretary of State was ridiculous. And, you know, we had this opportunity, and even I, look, it was 11 hours of hearings, and I watched every minute of it, unfortunately. My girl came home and says, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm watching this." And she just shook her head and walked out of the room. But for 11 hours, I watched it looking for that that smoking gun, it did not exist. So, you know, as Marco Rubio said, did we show and prove that Hillary Clinton was a liar? Yeah, we did, but so what? Democrats don't care about that when it comes to the nominations. Democrats are still going to rally behind her. The Democrats, they don't care about liars when it comes to this. It's evident. You can see, obviously, from Bill Clinton all the way past, and John, we go all the way back to John Kennedy with his indiscretions, sure, and his anyways. We know the, yes, Democrats don't care about the moralities.
Well, they're united by who their person is.
Absolutely, and they live and die by that individual, and they're just going to go with that individual all day long. And so, yeah, so we proved that she was a liar after 11 hours and $5 million. I don't care about the cost, yeah, but I was very disappointed because I thought Congressman Trey Gowdy might have had something, and obviously he doesn't. So all they've done is they revived Hillary Clinton, as we know. So now we know, big deal. So what? So now Hillary Clinton is going to be the nominee. So, you know, we can legitimately target her now going into these primaries. And the Republicans are doing a pretty good job, I think, at starting to evolve off of each other and on to Hillary Clinton. And that's how we've got a chance maybe to win. But we got to be careful. We got to be careful of not using the same old lines and garbage that people are starting to reject as same old lines and garbage.
And I have seen, Andrew, already today, just before we went on the air, that the candidates, not the Republican National Committee, but the candidates have said, and they told the party that they do not, and they have a problem with NBC, and the debate coming up in February, yeah, has been canceled with them, the questioning, the way things are going. So the candidates, those 10 that are on that first tier up there, have got together, and they talked about that from what I did see on the debates. They got together and they said we needed to unite, and that's one of the things that, like you said, Andrew, and you've been talking about it for a long time, that they need to do.
Well, it's time to drop the 10 down to maybe 5 or 6, maybe the top 5 or 6, and you know, things like that needs to happen, because quite frankly, it's getting kind of boring listening to the same old questions. Mr. Trump, you know, you've, out of 400 business deals, you filed bankruptcy 3 times, you, yeah, know, and Carly Fiorina, you were fired, and Marco Rubio, you know, you're a financial, you know, you can't even pay your loans and your houses. What are you thinking? Then they look at Christie, they look at Huckabee and Kasich. Why are you guys up here again, Rand Paul?
Yeah.
Look, the debate. Yeah, let's talk about that debate. Yeah, you know what? It was a great opportunity for a few people. And I've been talking with Christopher Bennett quite a bit on how Ted Cruz needs to evolve out of the Tea Party arena and try to make himself mainstream. And I gotta admit, you know, he did a great job. He did a great job actually talking to the American people on that debate. And he let go of that Tea Party, that hard constitutional rhetoric that he likes to put out there, and started talking about the issues. And so, you know, look, the American people don't care about the Constitution. They care about the issues. Unfortunately, the American people do not care about the Constitution. What they care about is jobs. What they care about is being able to provide. It's the economy, stupid. Remember that old, old campaign slogan? Well, it's the economy, stupid. So that's what we have to start focusing on. You know, look, most people, unfortunately, and I was reading this article I found interesting in my Sacramento Business Review that I get every quarter, you know, from the Chamber of Commerce down there. And it's interesting to see the perception that a lot of American people actually believe that the stimulus packaging and everything that the president did and the feds had done have actually stabilized and turned the economy around a little bit. And, you know, the numbers aren't that great, don't get me wrong, but 2% is still 2% better than minus 2%. So the American people aren't looking at that, the constitutionality of whether or not the president's got the right to do this or they don't got the right to do that. And unfortunately, it's because of our lack of education system when it comes to the Constitution and our rights and things like that. But, you know, the American people just care about one thing. They want a job. They want, you know, they want the companies.
The dream.
Yeah, the dream, man. And a lot of people are getting our age. You know, look, I mean, a lot of individuals I talk to right now that are within our age, they're looking back. You know what? I've worked hard. You know, look, I've raised a family. Look, I've got a house. But, man, is this it? Is this the dream?
Is this really the American dream?
Is this the American dream? And, you know, you look at other individuals being very successful, which is why that socialist movement is starting to come in a little bit of play. And you're seeing other people's kids. Maybe they're working harder. Maybe they're working just as hard. But they had maybe a better opportunity than you did. Look, I mean, America's hard. America is, will reward you, but not everybody's going to succeed in America. And we always got to remember, man, only in America where you can be anything and everything except for maybe exactly what you want to be. So you've got to evolve out of some of those notions and thoughts. So that movement right now is why, you know, the Bernie Sanders and the leftists are beginning to gain ground. You know, Donald Trump is huge right now. And the bottom line is because he is talking about bringing businesses back. Most American people do not like the NAFTA and the CAFTA deals. They see how detrimental it has been to our economy. And so as a result, you're seeing this movement. It's great. I refer to all the time as a traditional, classic, progressive, true progressive movement in America, which, you know, a lot of people like to argue with me, but I like to point out that the progressive movement in America at the, you know, the turn of 1918, somewhere in that time, you know, period. Look, that actually launched what we call small business today because of the antitrusters. You know, small business exists today because monopolies don't. And so a lot of Americans are seeing it tougher and tougher, but they don't look at it like it's the individuals that we are electing to govern over us. But we've just got to start pointing that out. Look, it's the government. Well, who is the government? We the people are the government. And so if we keep electing these idiots that want to govern over us in a way that we don't want, why do we continue to elect them? Throw them the bombs out, as the old proverbial saying goes.
Absolutely, Andrew. And we saw Bernie Sanders rise for a little bit because America has fallen on tough times. It is slowly getting better. And his philosophy was for the greater good, the collective good, take away from the haves, give to the have-nots. But we're seeing him fade away as it's getting, albeit it's still a year away, but it's getting closer and closer to the election cycle, and they want a little bit more than that.
Okay, we do have a call on line. Welcome to 503 Report. What's on your mind today? Thanks for joining this conversation.
Yes, the electoral procedure for the Supreme Court justices and appellate courts. Evidently, the public votes yes or no, and then it goes through out of our control through this other procedure, which is we don't know for sure how we can glean information, so we're making a very professional yes or no on the nominee. And how can we get more information?
Yes, you know, you're absolutely right on that. Yeah, you get your sample ballot, and then you get the publication comes from the Secretary of State. There's not a lot of information unless you take the time to Google these individuals. Look, I mean, yeah, you know, that's a great point as far as what their records are. How do you go about finding some of their past rulings? Maybe that's something we should look into, Tim, and see if see if that information is available, and if it is,
well, we can bring it to light.
Absolutely, and get it out there to our listeners. But for me, it's just real simple. I vote no on every one of them, no matter what.
Well, you watch 11 hours of Benghazi hearings, so you do the research. And that's what we try to do here, especially as we're getting closer to the elections, Andrew. We are in a short 45 minutes. We try to get as much information about those things out as we can. We've been trying to do that for 4 years right now. So.
Well, look, it's time to end the debates, I think, Republicans. Look, I think Jeb Bush said today there's like 8 more debates. It's time to end the debates, man. Start stumping. Get out there in the campaign. You're going to judge the candidates based on the rallies. Your rally sizes are going to tell all as far as how you're doing it. Now, Jeb Bush, he's not out of the race. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, we're still, you know, 3 months out. And look, 3-4 months out. I'm trying to do some quick math here because the end of October here. Look, I mean, he's got $100 million. Dollars sitting there. He's got major PAC money. All Jeb Bush has got to do is finish about third in Iowa, and then everybody else is just going to fall off. I mean, Iowa's going to kill most of them and the majority of them. Time to end the debates, though, man. Get out there on the campaign, start your stumps, and start rallying your people. Get your supporters. You know, that's how the press is going to cover you, and that's how what people are going to think. Now, look, I mean, it is getting kind of boring right now, I think, in this presidential run. I mean, it's the same. Okay, look, all right. Get out there, run your races, and stop going to this leftist media and just talk to the people. Get out there, guys. I mean, I'm tired of listening and seeing the Republicans set themselves up to be treated the way they're being treated by these leftist moderators.
We have a terrific opportunity right now, and Dr. Carson mentioned that. He was going to hold true to Ronald Reagan's 11th commandment, not to sling any arrows. Go out there, get your message out to the people, Andrew.
I had to catch myself. I almost said some stuff I didn't want to say. Anyway, folks, now it's time for our favorite book. It comes from Matthew 10:8. Freely you have received, so freely give. God bless you, America.
The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
And of course, we always want to thank those men and women who go to work, working the toughest beat in the state, up and down the state of California, keeping you, our listeners, safe across this nation.
Folks, you can catch us every Friday about 12:15, right after the news here on 1240 KSUE. About a half hour after the show, go to SierraDailyNews.com. You can catch a rebroadcast of the 45-minute show. Grab a cup of coffee and join us Saturdays at 7 before the news and Swap Shop, and Sunday at 7:30 on 1240 KSUE as well, before pre-programmed material. But the best way, the 503 Report, where America's voice is heard, our podcast as well. We'll talk to everybody again coming up next week. It's the weekend. It's Halloween. Be safe. Be with the kids. Enjoy yourselves. Uptown Susanville's going to have something for the kids today. Don't forget to turn those clocks back 1 hour this weekend. Have yourselves a great weekend, folks. The 503 Report, bringing Sacramento and the world to you.
Let me thank you for your time.